Hebrews chapter 11. As we continue our series of messages on Can I Live by Faith? And I hope that you have one of your books there. I hope you've been faithful in taking notes and writing things down. And I hope it will be a help to you. You can go back later and check my work, make sure I did it right. You can look up other verses and add to that. And be thinking along the lines of Can I Live by Faith? So glad to have you. To know that we can live by faith. And I know there are times when the world seems to be to have greater numbers. The world seems to have more going for it. But the fact of the matter still remains that we have God on our side and we can live by faith tonight. Tonight, we're looking at the faith of Noah. The faith of Noah. He's with us here tonight too, and that's a blessing to have the Leones new baby with us. And his name was Noah, but we're speaking of the faith of Noah in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. Let's read and we'll ask God's help as we study His Word tonight. Father, we're gonna read first. Here we go, let's try. I'm paying attention, let's try this again. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. A lot there in that one verse. Let's pray and ask God to help us to see it tonight. Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to see the truth that is in this very familiar story that we all know so well. Help us not to overlook it because we know it so well, but help us to calm our minds and focus on the Word of God. And may we be helped by the message of faith that we see in the life of Noah. And Father, we ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Over the last few weeks, we've looked at Abel. Abel, we said, was a man that lived by faith. He was willing to do things God's way. We typically look at the area of salvation. He was willing to come to God on God's terms, not his own terms. He brought what God wanted, not what he thought was best, like his brother Cain. But Abel was willing to do things God's way, and we need to be willing to do things God's way as well. We looked at Enoch last week, and we saw that Enoch was a man who walked with God. And he was translated. That has the idea if he was headed one way, but there was a day in his life where things changed. He got saved, and he was translated, and he started headed in the opposite direction. He was set free from sin, and he was on a course of living for God, of doing what's right. We said that we can't walk with God unless we agree with God. And so we must change our mind to match God's mind so that we can walk close with God. But it's something that we can do in this present world. But not only was he translated in his life, but he was also taken out of this earth. He never died. Because God took him home to be with him. And that is a picture of what will happen to those Christians who are alive on this earth at the return of Christ. We will never die. Even if you were to die today physically, spiritually, the second your soul left your body, you would be awake and alive and alert in heaven with Jesus Christ. And so the Christian need not fear death, need not fear man. Because like Enoch was translated into heaven, so we will as well. And if we're alive when Christ returns, we'll be caught up just like Enoch was to be with God in heaven. So we can see from these two men that yes, they live by faith, and so can we. And then we turn our attention to the man Noah tonight, and we see that Noah was a witness by faith. Noah was a witness by faith, and we can be as well. Noah was a witness by faith. We can do it. Well, let's look at number one. First of all, let's notice his faith. Let's notice his faith. In verse 7, the Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. You're underlining your Bible, underline this phrase, of things not seen as yet. For God came to Noah and he told him there was coming a day which he would judge the earth, in which he was going to bring a great flood, and he was going to destroy the earth because of the wickedness of man. And Noah was moved by faith in something that he had not seen. Noah didn't build the ark because of what he saw. He built it because of what God said. And by faith, he was warned of God of things not seen. Hold your fingers there in Hebrews 11, would you please? And let's look over at Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. We find here in Genesis 6 the original account of Noah and the ark. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. The Bible says in verse 5, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth." And I want you to underline a few words here, if you would please. "And that every," there's a word, "imagination," just the word "every," please, "imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." So here's the words I'd like you to underline just to highlight: "every," "only," and "continually." What I'm trying to show you here is that in God's Word, God is telling us that the wickedness of man was perhaps the worst that has ever been, that any civilization, any time in history, anybody has ever known. We look out in the world today and we watch the television. It doesn't take us very long to realize that there's some wicked things out there. There's some ungodly people out there. There's some people that hate God. They want to live for their flesh. They want to do what is opposite of what God wants. But teenager, can I tell you this evening that we do not live in a wicked place like Noah did. The Bible says that the time that Noah lived in, that every imagination of man's heart was only evil continually. It was so much so that it was in God's heart. God in his heart said, it was like he was sorry and finally repented. He changed his mind about this creation of man. It broke his heart that he even created mankind because they were so far gone in wickedness against God. This is the culture. This is the time that Noah lived in. Noah, though, the Bible tells us in verse 6, the Bible says he repented of the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. The Lord said, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." In verse 8, though, the Bible says this, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why? The Bible says in verse 9, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and a perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God." Before the flood, there were two men who walked with God. And one name was Nick, and the other was Noah. Can I tell you this? That Noah didn't become a great Christian. He didn't become a great man of faith because he built the ark. You know, some of us tonight, we know, if the Lord came to me and said, "Hey, there's going to be a great flood, and I want you to do something special. I want you to build this huge boat, and I want you to put a bunch of animals on it, and I want you to get your family, I want you to get out there, I want you to get everybody you can, and put them on there." If God came to me and told me that, then I could be a Christian. I could live by that. I could do what God wants me to do. But listen, Noah was not a great Christian because he built the ark. For in fact, when the Bible says that God looked down, he saw man, he saw wickedness, he saw evil, and man's thoughts were evil, only evil continually, and it repented him that he made man. He's like, "Man, why did I, you know, why did I do that? I should have done this, it was so wicked." And he looks down and he sees a man. And his name is Noah. And here amongst all this wickedness is one man who is living for God. One man who is living by faith. And he's a just man upon the earth. He is perfect in the fact that when God looks at him, God sees that he's not relying on his own efforts, that Noah realizes he's a sinner, that he needs God's help. And that he's coming to God, and he's walking with God, and he's depending on God each and every day of his life. I know in my own heart sometimes I think, you know, if God would do something great, then I could, you know, if you had asked me to do something real big or something like that, then I could be a great Christian. I could do this and I could have the faith like these guys would read about in the Bible. But as I read the story of Noah, I am struck by the fact that the Bible says he was a man of faith long before there was ever any ark. He was faithful to God in a society where nobody else was. The Bible doesn't say that he looked down and saw Noah and he saw someone else. No, the Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of God, because he was a man of faith. God used Noah to build the ark because Noah was already a man of faith, but God also used the ark to build the faith of Noah. In a time when men's thoughts were only evil continually, Noah had faith in God. And he walked with God. Understand that we do the very same thing. God calls us as Christians to walk in a world that is anti-God. Listen, you go out there as a Christian and you begin to promote the Lord and you begin to tell people that the God says that there's only one way to heaven and it's through Jesus Christ. And you begin to take a stand for God and you begin to have a high standard in your life and you begin to weed things out of this world. People are going to give you a hard time. They're going to give you a difficult time. But we must remember that we are here to do something for God that, like Noah, is not seen. We only know that God wants us to do something. He wants us to live a certain way. We don't have all the answers just quite yet, but we can trust God as Noah did, and we can live for God. God calls us every day to live for things that we cannot see. And we must do this by faith. The Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Because of his faith. His faith had nothing to do with the ark, and I want us to understand that, but his faith had everything to do with his walk with God. He was a just man. He was a man that strived to live for God every day, and because of that, God pulled him up out of mankind and used him for something very, very special. Now, let's look at, secondly, not only his faith, but also his fear. Back in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, the Bible says, "By faith, Noah began being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared the ark to the saving of his house." We need to understand that Noah was moved with fear of God. Not the fear of man, but with the fear of God. He realized who God was, and it moved him, it motivated him to do something that God asked him to do. Some of you would know this definition, but if you're taking notes, you can write it again. The fear of God is the acute awareness of the reality of God in my life that motivates me to honor, obey, love, and respect Him. I am acutely aware that God is real in my life. That God is present in my life right now. And there's some things that God wants me to do. There's a way that God wants me to live. And by faith, I fear God. And that's what Noah did. The Bible says that he was moved with fear. God warned Noah, and Noah believed. God came to Noah. The Bible says, and that word warned just has the idea of being told. Can you go back with me for a minute, back to Noah's day? Imagine this, as God comes to Noah and explores the things out of his head. I've been looking at the earth, I've been looking at mankind, and their thoughts and their imaginations, they're wicked and they're evil, and I'm going to destroy this earth. Ladies, you need to pay attention to me and nothing else. Because if you miss this, you may miss heaven. I'm going to destroy the earth. But because of your faith in me, because of your walk with me, because of your faithfulness, I want to use you to do something special on this earth. I want you to prepare an ark. And I want you to build this ark. And I want you to warn people of a coming judgment, of a time when I'm going to destroy this earth because man's life and their heart is evil and it's wicked. And by faith, Noah believed God. And he began to build that ark. I talked to my father-in-law last night about just the fact of how in the world would a man without a saw, would a man without nails, how in the world would he build an ark? I mean, just think about it. It had to be an incredible thing to see. It certainly was not an image like we would see on the television or anything like that. I don't think that's the way it would have been. But you know what? Noah could not have done it by himself. Certainly, perhaps his sons helped. We'd like to think so. But more than likely, there were other people who helped Noah build the ark. Can you imagine that? And people come to work in the morning, and Noah's hired them to help build this ark. And here they go. They're building this big boat, and they're putting the pieces together. And they say, Noah, what are you doing? He said, well, God came the other day and told me that He's going to destroy the earth because of sickness, and that He's determined that He's a man, He's going to destroy the earth with rain, He's going to destroy the earth with a flood, that we need to build this boat, and we need to prepare for God's coming judgment. For 120 years, Noah built the ark. 120 years. You know how old he was in the flood came? 600 years old. 600 years old. Can you imagine? I mean, listen, some of you are in high school and you've been made fun of a thousand times already for trying to live for God. But can you imagine trying to build a boat in a place where it never even rained before for 120 years? I can't. I'm only 28 years old. But 120 years old was faithful to God, and he was faithful to preach, and he was faithful to warn people, hey, God's judgment is coming. Hey, God's going to destroy the earth. God's going to judge on you, and you need to get ready, you need to prepare. And as the boat was finished and the animals came in, I can imagine that Noah would stand out in front of the boat and say, hey, you need to get on the boat, you need to come on and believe God. And every person on the face of the earth, other than his family, made fun of him. And mocked him. Said, oh, he doesn't know what's happening. Oh, he said, let's just live life. Let's just have a good time. Let's just live it up. Turn if you went to Matthew 24, look at this passage. For the Bible says in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. You know, those verses give us a good insight into this time period in which Noah lived. And in his sinfulness was unaltered in his sinfulness as he heard Noah preach. You know, he said, hey, you need to repent. Hey, you need to turn back to God. Hey, you need to stop doing that. Hey, you need to get on board. You need to get on the boat. The flood, someone's going to take you away. God's going to destroy you. You don't get on the boat. And the Bible says that men went along eating and drinking and marrying and getting married. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with eating, nothing wrong with drinking, nothing wrong with getting married. But the idea of those phrases is that men's life went on as usual. And they care less about things of God. Now, can we come back to 2009 for a minute and think about this? We find in God's Word that there is a coming judgment. That there is a time when God is going to judge this earth. And He's going to destroy this earth by fire. And God has placed us here on this earth to do a job for Him and to stand up and to claim the truth of God's Word and the message of God's Word and to live by faith and to be a light in this lost world so that we can tell men who are dying on their way to hell, listen, there's a flood coming. There's a time when God's going to destroy the earth. You better get on board. You better come with me. You better trust in God. The time is coming. Listen, the days of Noah and the days that we live in, they parallel so well together. You know, you think, man, God gave me a big job like that. Fill the boat. Put those handles on it and preach to everybody and say, hey, here's the flood coming. And then it kind of dawned on me. Would you turn to 2 Peter, please? 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter chapter 3, look at verse 9, would you? The Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, the earth also and the works thereof, that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness? You see, young person, God has given us just as great of a task as He did to Noah. For we live in a wicked world that will see the judgment of God. The Bible tells us in Revelation that there is coming a day when God will judge the earth, and the great men and the mighty men of this earth will cry out for the rocks to fall on them and to destroy them, because the judgment of God is so great. But God has left us here on this earth to warn people and to tell people and to encourage people to receive Jesus Christ as the Savior. God has left us here on this earth to live a right life and a holy life, to be an example and a testimony to a lost and dying world. Listen, the people in Noah's day would look at Noah and they say, Noah, is it really true? Is it really going to happen? How do you know that it's going to happen? And Noah would respond to him, listen, I'm simply believing in God. I'm having faith in God. I'm believing that what God said is true. And young person, tonight you need to do the same thing. You know. You'd end up in hell. You say, Noah, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to eat. I'm going to drink. I'm going to be married. I'm going to do my own thing. And this thing with God, this faith business, trusting God, with God, not for me. Life as usual is the way that I'll go. And that's what people noticed they did, but the Bible says they did not know until the flood came and swept them all away. No, it's too late. Can you hear me? And hear me well tonight. There is a judgment coming on this earth. God's going to judge the world for their sin and wickedness. And the only way that you can be safe from that judgment is to get inside the boat. We see the boat, the ark, as a picture of Jesus Christ. How we simply, by faith, we trust in Him, we get in the boat, and we live where there's no sail on the ark, there was no rudder, there was no way to steer or turn around, there wasn't a way to close the door. God did it all. And Noah simply got in and trusted God, and we do the very same thing. Noah was moved by fear. It wasn't a fear of man. He wasn't fearful of what men would say. He wasn't afraid of his enemies, but he was afraid. He was fearful. He was aware of what God had said, and he believed what God had said, and it moved him to fear of God and say, Noah, I'm not going to listen to men. I'm not going to listen to these circumstances. I don't care if it necessarily even makes sense. I'm going to do what God said to do. I believe there's a New Testament passage that will help explain this, and we'll be done. Would you turn to Mark chapter 4, verse 35? Mark chapter 4, verse 35. If you don't have a Bible, if you wouldn't listen carefully, I'd like to be a help to you tonight. The Bible says in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitudes, they took him, even as he had said, in the ship, even as it was in a ship, and there were also with them a few other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ships, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so, and underline this word, fearful? Why are ye so fearful? You see, the circumstances around was a great storm, was a lot of trouble, it was a raging sea, and they were fearful for their life, and they were worried that they were going to perish, and they were afraid of the circumstances around them, and it was like that, like we would perhaps be afraid of what someone may think when we tell them about Jesus Christ, about the way someone may think when we stand up and we do what's right and we live for God and we live a separated life and we don't laugh at dirty jokes and we live different and we don't date like everybody does and we don't live like everybody does. Sometimes I understand we're fearful of what people may think and we're fearful of what people may do. Look at this. The Bible says, how is it that you have no faith? Because you're afraid of all these things around you. You have no faith. And then in verse 31 it says this, and they feared, underline that word please, exceedingly. And said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey? There's the word fear twice there. We're talking about two different types of fear. One is the fear of circumstance. The fear of difficulty, the fear of tribulation, the fear of persecution, the uncertainty of life. But as those disciples were on that boat and they saw Jesus stand up, and I can just picture him as he put his hand out to the wind and said, peace be still. And the second he said it, that sea was as glass, smooth as glass. And the Bible says that those men became exceedingly fearful. Why? About the storm? No. They began to develop illness. Notice a fear of God. It's a man. What a God. What a Jesus Christ. That even the winds and the seas obey Him. Can I tell you tonight, teenager, that when we fear God, when we have the fear of God in our life, and we realize how powerful and how great God is, it removes all lesser fears. You don't have to worry about men. You don't have to worry about some punk teenager who want to make fun of me, want to try to give me a hard time for doing what's right and living for God. Because I fear God rather than fear this guy. It doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter what maybe I miss out on this life. It doesn't matter how many people laugh at me. I'm going to fear God. I'm going to do what is right. I'm going to be faithful as a witness for God. I'm going to stand up and tell people, yes, it is true. And yes, the Bible says it is true. And there is a God. And there is a heaven. And we are going to spend somewhere in eternity forever. And we need to understand that. It needs to be a reality in our life. And we believe it so much because our great God said so. Noah had faith in God. Listen, he was a faithful person. He was an obedient person to God long before the ark. You don't need some spectacular event in your life to be faithful to God. In fact, the Bible says that if we're not faithful in what is little, God's not going to give us any more. So there's somewhere inside of your heart where you want something that's great for the Lord, then I can tell you what, what you can do is be faithful with the little that you have right now. Not only that, but we see his fear, that he was moved with fear. Because he saw the greatness of God, and he knew the Word of God, he knew the power of God, and he prepared the ark. He warned people, he told people about a coming judgment. And we need to as well. Finally tonight, just for your notes, you can write this down. I won't spend hardly any time on it. We also see his family, for the Bible says that he prepared an ark to the saving of his family. You know what I can say this? It's simply that we need to be thankful. Young people tonight, if you have a mom and dad that fear God, that have faith in God, that live for God, want to do what's right, they have a high standard, they want to live separate from the world, they tell other people about Jesus Christ, and they're training you, they're raising you to do that, you need to praise God and thank God that your parents are those type of faithful people. Listen, there were thousands of other parents on the face of the earth at Noah's time, but none of them got their children safely on the ark. Only Noah. And you need to praise God and thank God for some godly parents who helped you and to build in your life, or almost in a sense for living by faith and knowing the things of God and knowing who God is almost second nature because it's been all your life. Praise the Lord for those parents. You don't need to complain about them. You don't need to whine about them. You don't need to wish for others. You need to thank God for them, because you could be on your way to hell without faithful parents who have told you about Jesus Christ, who brought you to church. Listen, you may be here tonight and you may not have parents that go to church. You may not have parents that know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Listen, if you know Christ as Savior, you need to do your best to warn them. But you can also do this, and that is you can decide, you know what? I'm going to live my life, and when I get married, I'm going to marry someone that loves God and knows Christ their Savior, wants to live a kind of life, and we're going to raise a home, and we're going to have children, and when we do, we're going to tell them about God, and we're going to live for God, and we're going to set our example for them, so that when they go into eternity, they are going to heaven instead of hell, because they know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And Noah had a family. Noah had a family that put their children down the well so they got on the boat. And I can just say right here, you ought to be thankful every second of your life that you have someone in your life who loves you enough, to tell you about Jesus Christ, who loves you enough to help you be faithful to God and to teach you and to discipline and to train you in the ways of God. Because without that, listen, you could be on some other side of the state somewhere and not know anything about God. We talked to some guys today at Team Soul, and some guys talked to some guys and said, listen, I've never been to church in my life and don't want to start now. You know, there's a man who said, someone came to him today and said, hey, there's a judgment coming. Hey, God's going to judge this earth and you need to get on the boat. You know what they said? Go ahead. You keep building the boat, I'm not getting on. That's what they said. We as Christians, we can walk by faith like Noah. We can witness and tell other people and more people and be faithful in our testimony and in our life. And I hope that you'll do that. Father, we thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for the faith of Noah. Lord, it's a faith that we can have in our life. It's not something that's unattainable, but it's something that we can have in our life. And I pray that each of us tonight would have that faith, Lord, to be a witness, not only in what we say, but also in how we live. Lord, we be faithful to warn people there is a coming judgment. You will destroy this earth one day. And Lord, may we live in light of that. Every time we see someone that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, would you help us to fear you, to warn them, to not worry about what people say, but to live for you and to have faith in you. How did Noah do it? He did it by faith. And we can too with your help, God. And we thank you for it. And we ask these things in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.